Is gin a drink or a card game? When you join a fraternity, they make you do goofy stuff. It's a rite of passage thing. They make you shine shoes, clean windows, take out the garbage, just nickel and dime harassment stuff. One day I was at the house sitting on the floor shining shoes, and two actives, Johnny Cox and Pat Greer, were playing gin. In the middle of one of their games, Greer had to go somewhere. Johnny Cox looked over and said, "Hey, Pledge, do you know anything about gin?" "I know that if you drink as much of it as I did last night, your head hurts the next day." "No, you idiot, the card game. Do you know how to play gin?" "No, sir, I don't, but I've always wanted to learn." Now, remember, I learned how to play cards at Summit Hills Country Club when I was 10 years old. I'd been playing gin for 8 years. "Well, stop that shoe-shining shit and come over here." So I went over to the table and he said, "All right, we're going to play gin. And understand, Pledge, that you play gin for money." "Yes, sir, I understand that. But I don't have any money. I mean, I really don't have any money." The truth of the matter was I didn't have any money. But I also wasn't that worried that I didn't have any money. Cox said, "I understand that. I understand. We'll make it very, very cheap. You still have to play for money, but we won't play for any real money. We'll only play for 5 cents a point." If you don't know anything about playing gin, you wouldn't know that 5 cents a point is real money. A nickel a point, $1 a box, $5 a game means you're probably playing somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 to $15 a game. That isn't cheap. A game to 150 points might take 10 hands, 15 hands tops. Somebody's going to get to 150 about every 20 or 30 minutes. So now you're playing at a rate of about $30 an hour. Now that is real money. Cox explained the rules and told me how the score is kept and so on. Then he dealt out the cards. I would gin and I'd ask, "I'm sorry, sir. I've forgotten. What do I do again when I don't have a discard? When they all match?" And he'd go crazy. "Just lay 'em down, Pledge." "Okay. Okay. You win." He really didn't think I knew a thing about what was going on. We played for 17 hours before he said, "That's it. I quit." I won $612. Which in 1962 was a whole lot of money. Tuition was $81 a semester, so $612 was big money. He didn't have $612, but he gave me $50 and owed me the rest. For the remainder of my pledge year, I didn't have to shine any more shoes, clean garbage cans, or anything. He'd get other pledges to shine the shoes, and then I would credit him 25 cents a pair. Whenever the other actives wanted me to do something, I'd say, "Fine, write it down. Johnny, I'm supposed to clean the garbage cans. What do you think that's worth? $2? "Okay, fine, subtract $2. Somebody else would have to do the garbage cans, and I'd sit in there and play gin with Cox. That was another lesson in working smart instead of working hard. Not having to do any more grunt work as a pledge sort of set me apart from the other pledges. I was also beginning to think of myself as a little different from most people. I succeeded at just about anything I did. I had followed the rules of the game in freshman English and succeeded. Then I had unknowingly broken the rules for entering a fraternity, but still succeeded. I was a little different.